Real Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Susie, Claire Schwab, and Evan Pearson. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drugged up tonight.
Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole tonight.
I'm making fun of you.
That was that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they got driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Good evening. You're listening to the Rick and Roro Show, episode number 53 on the 1st of October, 2025. And you're listening to the Rick and Roro. So over to our host, Rick and Roro.
Thank you very much for your wonderful bumpers, whoever you are. Really enjoy them. Really enjoy them. Rollo, it's the first of the month. It's we're in October already. Can you believe it? November. November already. 1st of November.
Yep.
I tell you what.
Pinch and a punch for the first of a month. The first Rick of and Rollo 53. Saturday.
Back to a Saturday. Back to normal.
Yeah, how's it doing, bro? You still feeling your hangover from your party last week? Because
I was a hungover, but I'm feeling. Yesterday I had a funny stomach thing. I was, you know, that's either an indication of about to have a heart attack. When you're over 60, anything is a prelude to either something fatal. So being a hypochondriac. I just assume, you know, have bad stomach. I definitely need to get the thyroid adjust thing because I'm not 100%, I don't think. But I'm all right. I've been very busy. Mm. Too busy possibly for a 61-year-old man. Can you believe it? 61 years of age.
Busy.
Anyway, Rollo, I'm just going to have to say though, if I do just drop off this mortal coil suddenly, you've got no problem. You just get an AI Rick, and AI Rick will come in and do all the shows.
I've been seeing that during the week. Everybody's been having fun with it. Dave J and Veralicious turned us into a boy band. That photo that we had together.
Yep.
We were all doing boy band poses.
That's how frightening this technology is. And listen, I could do that kind of stuff with an app about 10 years ago, you could kind of make a face move and, you know, move around, but it didn't look that real now.
Did you see Dave J turn himself into the Joker? That was scary. He goes, it took just 10 minutes.
He knows how to do these things, though. That guy's been fiddling around with computers at a high level since the 90s.
Yeah, you know, but Verilicious just seems to have picked it up. She turned Rollo Dolo into Donald Trump just like that. He's dancing around. Okay. It was hilarious.
Yeah. So the AI, what it is, it accentuates, you know, so something that you've found and you can do it and you can make it whatever. But can you imagine where this is going to go? It's too late now. It's already gone that way.
Well, it's already destroying YouTube. A lot of YouTubers are being, because a lot of the YouTube is now AI and people just don't know.
Yes.
The normies, like I can tell pretty much.
You finish your sentence.
Yeah, but I just want to say I did love the us being turned into a boy band with the boy band pose. I thought that was just that made me laugh so hard. And Velocet really enjoyed it too when I was talking to him.
We are a boy band.
Velo must have had some time off because he just called me out of the blue 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and we spoke for hours.
That's a funny time to call somebody, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I had nothing to do yesterday because there was no, the World Series wasn't on yesterday. That was my big moment of the day is, watching the World Series, which is going to game 7, by the way. It was just a great game today. So we've got the final game tomorrow. So Christy's going to come and pick me up. We're going to take the dog to the lake for a walk. And then we're going to go pick up some beers and we're going to watch game 7 together, the whole game, live.
Fabulous.
At her place on her big TV.
Yeah, your tiny old TV.
Oh, look, mine works just good enough.
Roller, you've got to go out and just spend $350. That's all it will cost to get a great big smart TV.
I don't know. I kind of like it now because if I had the TV Christy's got, because we watched the Clint Eastwood movie last night.
Which one?
Called True Crime, 1999. It was one of his later ones. It's not too bad. It's got a lot of famous people in it, and it's the storylines. True Crime. Oh, I've got to remember now because you remember that we had the baseball on today, so I've had a few.
I'll just be honest here. I've never even heard of that movie, but I kind of dropped off the catching up with Clint Eastwood movies probably around the 90s.
Oh, looking it up right after now for you, mate.
After the worst, the Deadpool film, Deadpool, the Last Dirty Harry movie, absolutely pathetic.
Sandra Locke. Was he still with her at the time?
No, I don't think so. It was just boring, and the bad guy was using like a remote controlled car to zoom around. It was just pathetic, very boring. But I think Guns N' Roses did they do the soundtrack? I think they appeared in it. Maybe I'm not sure. There was a bit of Jim Carrey appeared as an extra in it, and because he's a good impersonator.
Really?
He does a really good impersonation of.
Here we go. I've got the cast list. Oh, by the way, before I forget, I really screwed you over last week when I wanted you to think or look up the band and I said Tron Resurrection. Yeah. And I screwed you over big time there because it was Tron Legacy was the name of the film. Yeah.
Resurrection is the Terminator. Terminator.
Yeah. So you were there trying to find Daft Punk. Which reminds me of the song. You did find it to your credit. You did find it. I did enjoy the song that you played last week, that electronica song.
Yeah, it's great, wasn't it?
At the end, it was good. It was great. Yeah.
I love
that bit where he goes, play the wrong chord, you know.
Yeah.
It sounded like
I wrote the lyrics actually, because it was about playing my own music and doing that stuff like that. Because we were,
and then he goes into last Friday night.
All I remember saying at one stage in the show is like, we're not playing the fucking Jonas Brothers, Rollo.
That's right. You got a bit cranky with me. I know. I was a bit wasted. Here we go. So in True Crime 1999, we've got Clint Eastwood. We've got Dennis Leary. Do you remember him? I'm an asshole. Well, yeah, I'm an asshole. Right. Yeah. And we've got James Woods.
Wow.
James Woods is quite as.
I've never seen this movie.
Yeah. And, you know, that's some really big names there.
What's it about?
Yeah. Oh, it's a simple crime thriller.
Clint Eastwood stars.
I don't want to do well. If, in case you want to watch it, it's on. Have you got Netflix there?
Yep.
Well, there you go. You can watch it right now. It's free to watch on Netflix. Well, he's classic. You know, the only thing Clint Eastwood is in a bar at the beginning, and he's chatting up. He's got to be 70. And he's kissing a fucking 20-year-old.
Really?
Well, it looks like a 20-year-old to me at the bar. No, he'll be 30. But, you know, everybody looks 20 to me these days, you know, because, you know, the older you get, even 30-year-olds look 20-year-old to me. It's crazy, but it makes me cringe a bit.
Once you get your AI goggles on, everyone will look 20, even you when you look in the mirror with your AI smart goggles.
Oh, right, to make me look. Oh, to de-age me. De-age me to a 20-year-old. Get rid of my beard.
I've already noticed that TV channels and everything, they've been using an AI correction thing for a lot. As soon as OLED 4K came out, I went into the video, not video show, JD Hi-Fi to look at YouTube. OLED 4K. Well, they got 8K. I saw 8K the other day. The TV cost $30,000, and it was 8K. You know, 100-inch, you know, whatever. It's fucking huge TV.
So it's like looking into a.
Well, I might as well have been looking out of a window and looking at
the out of a window. That's exactly. I couldn't. Yeah. That's exactly
the
way I put
it. But when the hosts of the TV show or your news and all that come on, they are definitely using AI because you'd be able to see the makeup smears all over their pimply faces on a lot of old, you know, and the old cretinous newsreaders. But they've got some kind of correction thing, and they don't look real. And when I was watching Star Wars, someone had a Star Wars thing on in the room. I said, at JB.
Oh, yeah, what are they called?
It doesn't look real. They look like
they put the kids use them these days on when they do these streams and that to try and make themselves look better. It's like a skin that you can put over your face.
It's a filter.
If I was to sit
and watch me being interviewed or, you know, as a host of a show, looking at all crow's feet, you know, wrinkles on my ear. I've noticed I had a wrinkle on my ear. I was like, what?
We could get rid of all of that. We'd have that all gone. Yeah. You know, you would be looking like you're in your 30s, you know, at your prime.
I reckon my prime was 38. 37, 38.
It was when you looked your best. Definitely. Your hair looked good. You were in top shape. Your body was.
A girlfriend, 14 years younger than me. I must have looked pretty good. But no
trouble. What do you talk to about a girlfriend when she's 14 years younger? And
good question.
So you're 38. Right? That would make her.
She's 24.
24. What is it? What do you got in common with a 24-year-old when you're a 38-year-old? I've never understood that. I understand that, but after the sex, you got to have something to talk about, surely.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, that's exactly true. And in her case, she, you know, completely different music. But no, I think you obviously worked, you know, somehow for a while.
You had enough in common to hang. So she hung around for a while.
Funnily enough, we were together for 14 years. There you go. 14 years different and 14 years.
It started to sound like Tom Cruise. How many women was he with? And it was all numerical. It was bizarrely numerical.
He got rid of it at 33.
Every single one of them. Yeah. It's bizarre, isn't it? I liked his first wife, Ann Archer. She was, I, She was a really great actress, and she was good in.
Speaking of news, you know, Andrew Battenberg. No, sorry, what's he calling himself now? It's now he's been stripped. So Prince Andrew is now Andrew Mountbatten something or other. You know, they've had to get rid of all his
titles. He's lost all his titles because of that
the Epstein story.
God, he was guilty. Did you see that interview he did with the BBC? I mean, that woman didn't hold back on him either.
Sorry to mention the word 14 again, but I think it was 14. I was on about that 12 years ago, easily, you know, because I was listening and seeing all this stuff. And now he's finally, you know, they're stripping him of this and that. But I feel sorry for Prince Andrew. Am I the only person ever? Because he was in a relationship with one of the women I consider. There's a couple of women I would have loved to have been together with. Connie Booth.
He
went out with that chick. What was it? The name's got out of my head for now. But he went out with that beautiful American actress. With a strange.
He was a good looking chap when he was younger. He was so good looking.
Anyway, well, he went out with K-O-O Stark.
Oh, Koo Stark.
Yeah. And the Queen forbade them to get married because she was a commoner. And so those two were in love, and she was a beautiful actress, and she was absolutely sexy, beautiful. And there's actually, if you ever want to see her in her prime, and not the semi-porn movie she did, which is what got, that was why she got, she did a nude scene in some kind of video film. But yeah. But she was in this really funny, remember the actor that, you know, Ray, what's his name from Sexy Beast, Ray, the great British actor, Ray Winston. There's a short movie. I went to see a movie. Remember when you used to go to the movies and they used to have a cartoon or a short movie just before the main feature? Back in the old days, you used to get two cartoons, three cartoons, then the main feature and an intermission. You don't get any of them anymore.
No.
Are you there? Anyway, there was this amazing British short film about a comic nerd collector, and it was Ray Winston, and the girl that works in the comic shop is Koo Stark, and she actually is a superhero, and you know, look, that's part of the gag of, you know, spoiler alert, she is actually a superhero. Now that you'll get
if I remember rightly, Koo Stark was in a very early episode of Red Dwarf.
She might have been. She was in Britain.
She was in, and I think they were head over heels that, you know, that she decided, she'd come and be a part of a comedy.
Queen Betty said, "You've got to get rid of her." And he ended up with Fergie.
Well, she's an American actress, Koo Stark, and a photographer who was a serious love interest from 1981 to 1982 for only 1 year.
Yeah, that's enough.
Prince Andrew,
he had to leave her. They were not allowed to be because of his being a royal, you know. And they were. This is at the same time as
he married Sarah Ferguson in 1986, and they were married for 10 years. I don't know if that's an orange. Orange marriage because he had orange hair.
Yeah. She was no catch, I'll just say that. Compared to Koo Stark, Koo Stark was beautiful, American, dark hair, sexy, very sexy.
He was going out with a model called Sabina Van Rysen in the 1970s. I bet she's a hottie too.
Oh, he always
had a good-looking girl. Well, he wasn't a bad-looking fella. I don't know what... obviously, that amount of power, and then you get into bad company like Jeffrey Epstein, right? Yep. And then, you know, he's got an island. He could get you things. and then suddenly gets you recorded doing naughty things. You see what you mean? You are then compromised. And then people find out about it because once blackmail, once the secret's out, blackmail's all over. And then suddenly you're having to go on the BBC and explain what the hell you're doing, fucking 14, 15 year olds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then why you get stripped of all your family disowned you. Yeah. Because he couldn't even lie his way out of that. I mean,
the king, whose great advisor friend was none other than that sleazy Jimmy Savile. Very good friends. And so basically, I would say Jeffrey Epstein is a lot more classy than Jimmy Savile is your best friend. Personally,
do you remember those pictures where he's riding his OBE or whatever the thing, and Jimmy Savile's got the power and he's got his hand on Prince Charles at the time, on his shoulder, and he was just loving it, you know.
Now then,
Jim will fix it. Well, Jim didn't fix it. He's total disgrace. Rick and Rollo.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Okay, yeah, Rick and Rollo 53, Saturday the 1st of November 2025, Halloween. What a subject to talk about. PDF files in power. But you know, it'll all come out in the end. Anyway, well, let's talk about a much more pleasant subject: the death of someone who is very near and dear to probably anyone who knows anything about comedy. She was so wonderful. Remember the great Prunella Scales who played Sybil Fawlty? You remember that, Rick? That show? Yes, dear. Do you remember when we were happy together? Yeah, but not at the same time.
I know.
Oh, no.
She's in
bed. They slept in separate beds. She's saying, "I know," on the phone, and he's reading Jaws.
Yeah. And at that time she's sitting there laughing. She's going, "Ah." He goes, "Sounds like a whole lot of seals being machined."
Exactly. Have you ever seen that film, How to Murder Your Wife? It's a great book. I've read it. I've read it 8 times. He says it in front of Sybil. When she laughs, she did this that gravy drawback.
It sounds like a group of seals being machine gunned. Very fun. Was it 9 episodes they did?
12.
So they did 9 originally and they came back and did 3 or something.
I'm quite an expert on Fawlty Towers. So they did 6 in 1975. Yes. And he didn't want to do any more. John Cleese, he was adamant that 6 was it. And plus he split with Connie Booth the American actress. Yeah. She was gorgeous. What was that? That movie you told me about, and I watched it, something with a double bass or something.
Romance with a Double Bass.
Yeah. I watched that. And she gets the kid off, and she's absolutely.
Lovely, hurt body.
Oh, her body was. Well, didn't she? Hurt. She basically, there was one episode where she wore the tightest t-shirt and no bra. And you can you can see nipples. I don't know if they enhanced them somehow. And he goes, "Do you mind? Do you mind putting some clothes on?"
She was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
He was. Well, they were.
She was from New York. She was a waitress. He met her when she was when he was in doing a Broadway with he was doing a Broadway play with the Cambridge Circus, I think, were over there. And she was a waitress.
You remember when he was doing a fish called Wanda and he fell in love with Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah. Not the same quality. Jamie Lee Curtis, apart from another part of her anatomy, well, two parts of her anatomy, but...
Well, her legs and her bottom are very cute.
No, it's her boobs that Jamie Lee Curtis is famous.
She's got nice boobs as well, but she always had short hair, and I never liked short hair on a woman. I always liked longer hair.
Yeah.
I'm just getting a refill, but yeah, we'll stick to...
Ninety-three years of age. Well, I have to say, I did tell you that.
Prunella Scales. You said Connie Booth. No, you're right there, mate. I was just correcting you.
Thank you.
Yeah, she was married to Timothy West, quite a famous actor. That passed away just
She doesn't go for good looking men, though, does she? She just goes for these really. Odd looking.
Oh, they were one of the best marriages in showbiz history. They were married for like 50, maybe more years. Amazing. Her and Timothy West. Yeah, she was Prunella Scales. Mm. Yeah, it was a very successful marriage.
I'm thinking of Connie Booth. I'm obsessed with her. Prunella was married to Timothy West.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
So she was a stage actress.
Very young. That was the thing. She'll always be remembered. And she doesn't worry about the fact that she was watching an episode of Fawlty Towers just before she died because she had dementia, Alzheimer's or whatever they label it these days. I don't know, 10 series of something called riverboating around canals or something in England. I've never watched a single episode.
I'd love that. I'd love to do
that. You know those long boats that England's got? And they went not only there, through Europe in them as well.
This is Prunella Scales.
And Timothy West did it together. Yeah, it was a...
I'd watch that because I'm fascinated with those river boats. I'd love to do that.
Mm.
But, you just go cruise. You sleep on them,
you go to a town, and then you buy your food, and then you come back and cook your food on the boat, and then you just move on. Yeah, that's what they did in there basically as a retirement, but they just... they disagreed it to be all filmed.
Mm.
And she was getting a little bit, after 10 series or something, the dementia just got too bad and she needed carers and things like that after that.
Oh, that's sad. That is sad.
Yeah, but they had a lovely house. I mean, they made out. I mean, Timothy West was already a very successful actor. They were very successful partnership and they had a lovely house and great kids apparently. So, And the fact that she never begrudged being like Sybil because she was so good at it and embraced it afterwards. She just, it's not like she couldn't get other roles on the stage or do other things. She was employed probably because of that. She was so good. Oh, some of the slaps she gave John Cleese. Like, because John Cleese said, like, when you hit me.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted the sound to come through. So when she gives him a good old slap on the cheek, and even when Connie Booth hit him a couple of times. I think he had a masochistic getting slapped in the face by beautiful women.
Well, John Cleese has got a masochistic. So he marries American lawyers, and he lost all the money. through three failed marriages.
He was homeless with that, wasn't he?
And he married psychologists and psychiatrists. Like, of course they're going to fucking take you for your money, you know.
Like Peter Sellers. I mean, that last marriage that Peter Sellers did, and then she got all the money. I forget her name for the moment, but
Lynn Frederick
got all his money in the end. So he did all that work. It was big. I put a thing up the other day with Herbert Lom and our boy. Well, I call him our boy. He was actually an Englishman, John Bluthal. He did a TV show in the late 70s on ABC called Home Sweet Home. It was pretty good. And then he went back to England.
Nostalgia.
Then he went back to England, and he was a regular on the one with the the Vicar of Dibley. He was a regular on that.
The fat one.
Yeah. So Dawn French. She was fat. I think she's on Ozempic now, like everyone these days. So
yes.
There's no fatties anymore with Ozempic around. When Ozempic's in town, there's no fatties around. Fuck me, that drug. It's just taken over the world. And it makes you look so fucking corpse-like. It's like, why would you take that?
Just out of the top of my head, when was I talking to you? Had you seen the Quatermass shows? You know, do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, Quatermass with
Way before Doctor Who. Oh, I had a couple. Peter Cushing was in one of them.
The one that it reminds me of is Landau. Martin Landau is, for some reason, comes to mind.
He might have been. Oh, it's a character. Well, it's a character. But have you seen, because I think Quatermass and the Pit, they were radio serials. And then they were science fiction, very, very Doctor Who-ish, extremely Doctor Who-ish, I would say.
Oh, back when it was good.
Back when. But they started in 1953 or 54. It was a radio serial, and then it became a movie and the TV show as well. But the Quatermass and the Pit, Quatermass and the Pit and Quatermass.
I'm going to have to go for a cigarette. So I'll have to keep my voice down a bit. Yeah. I can still talk to you about that, but
It's only early, but you just got to leave. Don't get excited. Crazy. And shout. Don't get excited. Yeah, anyway, my pussy's in good form.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I didn't ask about Sahara. So she's on the mend.
She's on the mend, yeah. She's allowed to go outside. I'm letting her go outside, but she doesn't do anything stupid. She's eating, et cetera.
What was that funny thing you said last week? You're doing cat sort of gymnastics or something to get legs
physio.
Working.
Cat physio.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't bring my notebook out the back, so I've just got to go by memory.
Why don't you sit out the front facing the train station when you want to have a cigarette? You know, on the main road area.
Because I don't like people. It's like, when I was talking to Villas yesterday, he was sitting out. He was saying, "Oh, I'd rather just sit out here on the balcony and with a great view."
Yeah, no, but if you're just going out for a cigarette, no one cares if you're standing at the front and your front.
But I can sit on the back. Well, it's so much. I've got my comfy seat on the back. You know, like I've got the seat like Ozzy Osbourne did just before he died when he did that last concert. It's that comfy. When Ozzy Osbourne sung that last concert, he had to sing it sitting down.
What a terrible! The more I think about that, I think he should have just not done that and let everyone come out and sing, because he just looked terrible. You know, he couldn't walk. You know, he was tapping his cane up and down.
I didn't think he looked that bad, actually.
I thought
he looked worse when they were filming him for that Osborne series in 2001. You know, Sharon, you know, and they were just, I think they were just making hamming money off.
Hamming it up.
Yeah, I think he was. But he was thin, but he didn't look good at all.
He's definitely, he definitely was falling to pieces, and he definitely would have been dead very quickly after that thing. But the fact that it happened, you know, within a week of the,
Every time you say that word or that phrase, I think of Faith No More. Somebody put me together. I'm falling to pieces. But he had a lot of, it would have been a great concert to go to, because there are how many, like, you had Metallica there and,
I still haven't seen it. I saw bits.
Me neither.
Yeah. I saw bits of it. Yeah, and there was definitely some great.
I think it was pay-per-view type thing, and Sharon got all the money. I reckon she would have given 10% to Sharon.
She gave it all to the hospital, apparently. I'd be very surprised about that. Well, I'd be very surprised. He says putting water in a beer. Anyway, what are you drinking, Rollo?
What's in your hand? Very boring and predictable.
Vodka.
Predictable vodka lime and soda. I'm off the Red Bull forever.
Good. Yeah, it's bad for you, Rollo.
Yeah, it is. I was getting skin rashes on my leg.
Extremely bad for you. And especially that volume of it. But it's everywhere. And that's what, like, I got told, this is, you know, I've done first aid for many years. And the best course I did was one out at Parramatta. It was a paramedics first aid course. And you learned stuff, because they were all paramedics that were teaching you. So they didn't fuck around with, you know, count, you know, like little, I went to one years ago with the Red Cross, and they were all little old ladies that taught it. Yeah. And they'd fail you if you didn't do this proper bandage. But when you do a paramedics one, then it's not interested in technique. They just said, you've got to do something. Just do this and this and this. Really fast act. I loved it. But anyway, the paramedic, this is in 1995, I guess, 96. Mm. The paramedic was taking the course with a South coloured, when I say coloured, that means he's part Indian, South African. And he, that's how they identify themselves too. They call themselves coloured.
That's all right. No racism here.
No, remind me to talk about that subject just after this one. But anyway, he told me, this is when all these sugar taurine drinks and, you know, caffeine drinks were coming out big time. Must have been late 90s. He was telling me that his wife is a nurse at the heart clinic in at Westmead, and they were seeing younger and younger and younger people coming with heart issues. And it wasn't just amphetamines, it was the use of Red Bull and V. They were, you know, getting heart palpitations, heart murmurs, all these things like that. So forget about just vaccines. The diet and the mother, and just look at that logo. Even the V is the V logo, which is everywhere. That logo of the horns on the head you see in every fucking Disney movie. And I just saw another one advertised the other day, another character with horns on their heads that very blatantly. But anyway, what it does is it makes your heart speed. It's amphetamine based.
It's like Nodos mixed with lemonade or something. It's super caffeine and whatever that taurine.
Taurine is taurine for yourself. Taurine, yeah, T-A-U-R-I-N-E.
But it makes you, if you're out and you're feeling tired and you just drink one of them, amazing what it does. What did you say last week about the party you went to? You came up with two funny expressions. Was it marching powder and dancing?
Dancing accoutrements.
Dancing accoutrements. It was so funny. I missed that completely when you said that. Dancing powder.
Well, and, The group of people there were all big on, you know, as I said, a quiet night could be 3 days or more.
I know exactly what you're talking about now, but I missed it completely last week when you said that. It was so funny.
I wasn't to be interested in this one. Mm. I was yesterday, unlike, I just did a window job, huge, big, beautiful house in very fresh in Balmain.
Can I cut in for a second? How many different jobs have you had in your lifetime?
Different people. I work for different people doing the same job. It's the same job.
It's the same job. So you consider security for Carrie Ann Moss in the bathroom the same as window watching.
No. That was a part of my life. It finished in 2001.
You've had so many different careers, and it's just fascinating to me.
It's just earning money. It's like if someone rings me and says, "Will you cut a tree down?" and I've done it. You know, I can do multiple.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I remember when I was talking to Lawsy one day. Lawsy had a go at me because he said,
Julie Andrews, because this is what happens. You start another conversation and it ruins. I completely forget what I was talking about. So anyway, I was putting my equipment back in my van, and this guy was walking along sticking pamphlets and letterboxes. I would identify him as being, he's very dark skinned with a beard, you know, had a beard, like, say, either you're listening to Rick and Rollo.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And we're back on the Rick and Rollo show on episode number 53. Can you believe it? On the 1st of November 2025. I'll finish the story. Then I'm going to say the magic word and Rollo will be allowed to talk again. Anyway, this guy's come walking up. He was sticking pamphlets and he walked up and he said, have you got a cigarette? And I said, I had some rollies there. And I said, can you roll? He said, no, he couldn't. Anyway, I said, so where are you from? And he said, he goes, I'm from Canada, bro. He had an American accent, tall. I would say either West Indian or African Canadian, but very dark skin. And I said, how's Canada? He goes, I don't mean to be racist, but it's India now. And this is a guy who's dark skinned, like complaining about Indians. He said that Canada is where he was from, which was not Toronto, but he lived in Toronto. He said it was so India that he actually had to get out of there. He just found it irritating, and he moved to Australia. And I said, Julie Andrews.
Thanks for the invite. No, I'll always obey that rule. That's good.
Yeah, fantastic.
He
said that in Canada was so Indian that it wasn't funny. And I said, well, it's getting that way here. And he goes, do you think? And I said, yes. But obviously Australia's got nothing on Canada. Canada's really, really, because they come over and they buy up all the businesses. They take over every industry. It's happening everywhere. Like, find me a service station. There's maybe one that I know of, and where I live, that's not completely owned by Indians.
Every tobacconist is run by an Indian.
Indian, yep. Anything with money.
It was hilarious the other day. Do you want to hear a funny story? But I'll let you finish on that.
That's my story. It was just interesting that a guy.
My story is hilarious.
A black guy
okay.
From Canada complaining about said I'm not racist, but
I'm not racist, but.
That's what he said.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh, he sounds cool. Did you roll a ciggy for him?
Yes, I did. I said, that's my good deed today. I said, but it's not a very healthy good deed, but I'm doing it for you.
There you go. You're a good man, Rick. So I've always thought so. I was telling Villa that. You're right. All right, darling. I was so funny. I went down, walked down to get my bowl of Red Bull and lime and soda.
Bottle of vodka.
What did I say? I misspoke again.
Bottle of Red Bull.
Bottle of vodka. See, there you go. We can correct each other and no one's getting offended. Okay, so I was walking back and I had to get cash now to get my cigarettes. I was just about to walk into the tobacconist or whatever you call it, the illegal chop shop. And there's five fucking cop cars from nowhere. There's five. They all come past me. There's cops everywhere. And because my tobacconist is near the Iron Horse Hotel.
Oh, yeah, you're
good. There was a contretemps in the Iron Horse when I.
What a surprise.
That they were trying to deal with. But this is the funny part, right? When I walked into the tobacconist, I said, there's cops everywhere out there. And the look on his face was a pure terror because he thought he was going to get busted. He thought he was going to get busted. And I went, he jumped over the counter. He jumped over the counter in front of me and went and looked out and then went, oh, it's not us. he jumped back over the counter.
At the moment, it's not you.
You just freaked the fuck out of me.
You freaked the fuck out of me.
But he was such a nice guy, you know. I know him. I go to the same place every time. So he said, what do you want? My two Manchesters. And that's all I went. And I went on my way in the rain.
Oh, man. Isn't it weird? The weather's so weird. And last week, we had...
Doesn't it piss you off? You walk all the way home and then it suddenly comes out in bright sunshine.
We went to the beach today and it started thundering. I had to get him away from it, killing aliens, et cetera, and playing international soccer. And we went to the beach and we went to this, it's this weird little funny beach. And it's very close to Lisa Oyster. Lisa's, so it's flat water. It's like an inlet and full of stingrays, absolutely full of them. And I heard this thunder and I was thinking we shouldn't be out right sitting under trees on the beach when thunder and lightning's coming. It's a really bad combination because surfers get hit by lightning a lot. Not a lot, but they do, you know. And if you're sitting out in the water and there's a lightning storm and you can be hit. But and then all this, we took off, went back home, and then the sun came out and it was all beautiful again. But this, honestly, I was cold and shivering and had to have rugged up last Wednesday. It goes from really hot to really cold like you've never seen before at the moment. So it's really weird weather, really weird weather.
Crazy.
And last night, it was raining so much in Sydney, I thought, I'm not going to risk getting on the road. I just felt, it's too dangerous. But I drove because I thought, take a risk. And it was clear as anything all the way up to my house. But there was thunder and lightning over your place a bit. You would have noticed.
You can always, when you're driving.
Aren't Friday nights at Christie's place?
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't want to do that, but
I live a little because we still get on, even though we're not lovers anymore. We're just friends.
Yeah, but you've moved. We're so happy now. She must be so happy.
Oh yeah, big time.
She's got her own lovely house. No Rollo.
As long as I take care of this place and I look after the dog, feed the dog, and that's all she really cares about. Because she's got so many other things to do.
She's playing baseball.
She can't have the softball.
Softball. Speaking of death, did you see that kid that got killed by the cricket ball story? That's a massive story over here in Victoria. Really? Yeah, he was.
Look it up.
It's one of the biggest stories on the media at the moment.
I don't watch.
He was at a training station. You know those cricket. Did you ever play cricket? Because I never did.
I did. Yeah. Okay. I was always killed.
Now I'm not saying that I find it a boring game to watch. To play is not boring because you've got the most that ball, if that hits you in the head, it will kill you or give you brain damage. It's fucking rock hard. Like a small cannonball, basically, which is, I do believe that's why they started cricket, is to get people used to people having something around thrown at them at high speed. And this kid, how old was he? 14 or 15? You know, he was in the nets.
All right, so here we go. Teenager dies in Melbourne. I'll read you the story. Okay. So, young cricketer Ben Austin dies in hospital after being struck by a ball in the practice nets in Melbourne's east. Ferntree Gully Cricket Club encouraged people to put your bats out for Benny.
Ferntree Gully isn't that the name of that? That was the movie the original Ferntree Gully was the one that they based other movie for, that they stole the idea of Ferntree Gully, the movie from the 70s or 80s, on that whole giant movie that's the biggest movie that's ever been made. Stupid movie about blue aliens on that planet that I've never watched. Yes. So tennis are those automatic tennis ball firers, so you don't need to have a person hitting the ball.
Yeah, I hear.
It was an automatic cricket ball firer. He had it. He obviously didn't have the headgear on, but it got him on the side and the neck, right next to the throat. So immediately,
I'm back inside now, so I can talk at full volume. I'm going to get a refill. I remember. Do you remember that cricketer that got hit underneath the his helmet? Yeah, Phil something about 10 years ago.
Yeah, no. So
they said it was horrific. It was horrific
on the side of his neck.
I think it got him in the ear or something somehow. The helmet must have flipped up.
I'm telling you, the cricket ball, it would be the most dangerous ball.
And there was blood flowing out of his ears.
Yeah, of course.
It was bubbling out of his ears. And basically, he was a DT. I'll look it up.
They had a big tribute in the not that I watched it, but anyway, it brought memories back of me playing softball.
In
1976.
So much fun to play. You never get killed playing that game.
Well, Rollo, you could get badly injured though, I would say that.
Okay.
And how they have your diamond is set up and on a big field, there'd be five games going on that same field. Well, the outfielder of the team on the other diamond next to me was basically our outfielder would have been right next to the outfielder of the team of the other game. So they're kind of standing near each other. And one of the guys, big Maori guy, who hit a home run and went crack. And this guy was standing facing the wrong direction looking at his game, and it got him right in the back of the head. Yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I don't think they do that anymore.
That's just super, super bad luck. Well, here we go. Phil Hughes' family reacts. It was Phil Hughes. Family reacts as tributes flow for the emerging star Ben Austin after shock death. Yeah. So it was Phil Hughes that got hit. I mean, it's risk assessment.
I'm surprised more people aren't killed playing cricket. And I'm talking about audience members.
Any baseball, like if you're going to stand in, if you get a, someone's throwing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball,
and it gets you in the side of the
head. Oh yeah, even with a helmet on, 100-mile-an-hour fastball is going to mess you up.
Fuck yes.
If you get smacked. Yeah.
Although
a cricket ball's got way more dangerous, because they're a lot. They weigh. What does the cricket ball weigh compared to a? Let me look that up. What is a cricket ball? I'll use ChatGPT. But it's a lot different.
3.3 pounds. I'm just guessing here. 3.3 something or other. It'll be something mysterious. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. What is a cricket ball?
My best friend, I'll tell you a story. When I was playing cricket one time, I was out at Merriweather and I was at the other end. So it's a fair way away. It's not like playing indoor cricket. Have you ever played indoor cricket, Rick?
I have played cricket at school, but I was not interested in the game at all. But my brother, father are tragic. So I'll just say, have to underestimate tragic cricket. Mm-hmm. They love it. Watching it, the most boring sport in the world to me.
Do you remember, if you like comedy, you watch The 12th Man, go, oh, fucking what? No, he do his Richie Beno. What was his name? Billy Birmingham.
Billy Birmingham, yeah. It was funny.
Yeah.
But, so you'd have this. Oh, what I'm saying, if we were on Fakeologists at the moment, they'd be going, "Ah, it's fake." No, they're fake. This game and that sport would have to be the most extraordinarily dangerous game ever. And I can't believe more people aren't killed.
Ooh, I just heard you open a beer. Mm. Here we go. A men's cricket ball is heavier than a baseball, weighing between 5.5 and 5.75 ounces. 156 to 163 grams compared to a baseball's weight.
It's rock hard. There's nothing soft about it. Like a baseball
You get hit by a cricket ball. Mm.
You're dead. And I'm talking about any part of the body. And you see these guys, because they wear a lot of protective gear, but if you're not aware and you get one of those in particularly the neck area, and that's what happened to Phil Hughes, and right in front of the whole game, everyone saw it happen.
Oh, the guy that bowled him the bouncer felt so bad. I mean, how would you feel?
He had the headgear on, and he tried.
I remember, like as night as day, He tried to hook the ball, but just missed it.
And got him right on the neck.
You could see when they were waving like frantically. All the games got called off that weekend.
Bring in the first.
Get the fucking ambulance here because he's a dead cunt. Sorry to. I mean, he was.
He died on the field. I do believe.
He died on the field. There was blood. Absolutely pissing out of his ears. Catastrophic damage. It's like getting, probably hit in the head with a baseball bat or something. You're Jack Nicholson style with the axe through the head. I don't know. But
that's
a risk you take in competitive sports. Yeah, if you want to play sports where you're not going to get hurt, play table tennis.
Exactly. I'm always on about cricket being boring, but what I mean is watching it to me is boring. Playing it, there's nothing boring about that game. If you make any mistake and you get one of those things in your eye, If it gets you in the eye, you're going to be blind. I mean, it's terrible. But it's to me, you can hear the...
Yeah. My friend, I was telling you a story. When I was out at Merriweather, my friend got bowled a half tracker. He could have put it anywhere, but he hit it like a baseball. It came straight towards my face. I told this story at his wedding, actually. It came straight towards my face, and there's nothing I could do. And it clipped like Donnie Trump style when he got clipped by that, if you believe the bullet. Well, it clipped my earlobe as it went past. There was nothing I could do, and it went for four, like a rocket. And I heard it fizz and hit my earlobe, and then bang, went to the boundary. And I went, do you know, I almost died that day. If I didn't die, I would have had my face completely crushed. Yeah,
I totally say that the cricket game playing would have to be one of the most dangerous games out there for if things go wrong. But to me, watching it and these 3-day tests, to me, I was like, please, no. Anyway, did you see, we'll change the subject. Did you see James Packer had a heart, he's in hospital?
Yeah, I did. I read that story because it kind of reminded me of all the old days when Kerry was like he was top dog. Yep, he was a top dog, and he didn't. I think he died at a cricket game somewhere.
Well, he's responsible. Kerry Packer, you're listening to.
No matter what your age, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Listening to the Rick and Rollo Show, episode number 53 on the 1st of 11, 2025. And back to the host, Rick and Rollo.
Halloween. Happy Halloween. We're talking the big man, the billionaire. Like the richest man, I'd say one of the richest men in Australia, Kerry Packer, who bought the company I worked for, sold off the bits he wanted and left us with all the crap. He was ruthless. He was a great gambler too, you know. He went to America and then he bankrupted casinos. He was so good at Baccarat.
Yeah, he's a whale, they call him.
He's a whale, but he's so good at Baccarat. He could beat casinos because his pockets were so full. And I tell you, what's his son's name again? Sorry, Rick?
James.
James, yeah, he's starting to look like the old man, isn't he?
Except for his hair. He's got
he chains smokes while he exercises?
So did Kerry. Kerry is a change maker, but all these people were commenting on the story. It happened 2 weeks ago, apparently, so I'm 2 weeks out. Mm. But apparently, he used to do the Bondi to Bronte walk every morning because he actually lost a lot of weight, but he never stopped smoking. And he apparently chain smoked and had his business advisors around him while he was doing the bay walk, the beach to Bronte to Bondi walk. Great walk. Mm. Always had a smoke going. Never, always chain smoking.
Did his advisors like light up for him? And every time
well, that's what people have said, that everyone's sucked up to him. But he's apparently not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy, apparently, James, because he had his fun.
He hasn't pissed the family fortune away what's the word I'm trying to think of? Like, there is, that's a good one. Every time there's a generation, So he hasn't.
That's true. That is true. That is true. That they say that most rich people, unless they intermarry, most rich people's kids will blow all the fortune.
They'll blow it. They'll blow it all in one generation. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Not James. And I think that he had a very close relationship with Kerry, who had been bullied and mercilessly and abused by his father. You know, when I say abused, by mental and physical, by his father.
Yeah, well, he wasn't the most attractive bloke.
No, well, you know, interesting.
It wasn't like Rupert. Was it Rupert Murdoch? His kids, they were quite. They were quite attractive.
They are absolutely, yeah, and yeah. Murdoch's progeny. There's lots of them, but there's an interesting conspiracy theory back in the day. Kerry Packer was part of, you know, there was a whole lot of Australians involved in bringing in heroin, making money on the heroin.
Oh, is that how they made their money?
And he was known when they had the big court. There's a big, massive court case. He was known as Goanna. There was a code name Goanna. Guy that was in charge of one of these big things.
Oh, yeah.
And because Goanna was Kerry Packer, he looked like a lizard. He looks like a giant lizard. And so his code name was Goanna. They couldn't mention his name.
If you're going to talk that comedically, all I think is ostentatious. Are you going to Goanna?
Yeah.
You know, you remember that? It was called Australiana. Yeah, but keep going. Yeah, Goanna. Hilarious.
Oh, and I forget, it's called the Something Inquiry, not Fitzgerald. Oh, here comes the rain.
Yeah, Fitzgerald Inquiry. I remember it well. It was in Queensland.
No, sorry, it's not Fitzgerald. It was another one. It was a massive inquiry, and there was a guy. They were talking about bringing in huge amounts of drugs, and they used to only be able to say Goanna. That was his code name.
Okay.
That's who it was Kerry Packer.
Because all the phones were analog at that time, so anyone with a scanner could bloody listen into your phone call.
Look, honestly, the stories, these rich people all had, like Packer had a brothel set up permanently at the Northern Beaches up at Palm Beach with beautiful looking hookers, because he was into hookers and getting on the piss and chain smoking Benson Hedges. Why wouldn't you? You know, you had all that money.
And screwing your employees.
And he was
literally, not figuratively.
James Packer had some beautiful girlfriends, except for what, the one that wasn't so good looking, but he had to pay a lot of money. He was at that, what was her name? She was a bikini, Verilicious, you'll know this one. She's got a bikini line. I actually know the name of that bikini line too. Someone I know very well used to see her for a bit of fun back in the, when they were at school together, back in the day. It's called Tiger Lily Bikinis. Verilicious. She'll know exactly what I'm talking about here. And she ended up going out with, John Stevens from Noiseworks, and they had a huge fight, and he got accused of domestic violence or whatever. I forget her name, but I know who.
I'm outside again. I'll have to keep my voice just a little low.
Kerry Packer's girlfriend.
Not Kerry Packer.
James's girlfriend. James's girlfriend.
James Packer.
She was from Hunters Hill and went to that school full of semi-rich girls in Gladesville. I can't remember the name of it, but Jody, what's her name? Her name's Jody.
There we go. James Packer's girlfriends included ex-wives. Jody Mears. And Erica Baxter, along with Mariah Carey. She was a singer, Carey. Wasn't she? Wasn't she a singer?
What do you mean?
The model, Kylie Lim. Renee Blythewood.
All hot, except for Kate. What's her name?
Kate Fisher.
And she's now.
So here we go. Here's the list. So Kate Fisher, he was engaged to with from 1995, 1998. Yeah, 30 years, he married.
You know, get this one. Apparently, Kerry said to James, he goes, you can't have babies with that woman. Her head's bigger than you. And, you know, because the crackers have got huge heads.
Can you say that again? Because you just cut out.
Oh, Kerry told James, apparently, you cannot, this Kate with Kate Fisher, you need to move on. She's got a bigger head than yours. If we're going to have baby packers, you're not marrying that one. And so he had to pay her out a lot of money, and she's now called Zipporah. She's become a Hebrew. Zipporah, what it means. Right. Changed her whole name. But Jody Mears was a bikini model, has her own line of bikinis called Tiger Lily. Well, she did.
Every time you say Tiger Lily, I think of Michael Hutchins' kid.
Michael Hutchins, yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're right. But that's
heavenly Harari Tiger Lily. Who's got to be a real woman these days, because
she'd be in there.
He shuffled his mortal coil in 1996. Yeah.
Okay, so she's 30 at least.
Yeah, I wonder how she's doing with the.
Yeah, but Jody. Jody ends up with John Stevens, who's another pants man. John Stevens, and the amount of women that guy has slept with is just up there.
Really?
I almost got punched
out at a John Boy Stevens Bruce. Thing here in Newcastle. Yeah.
I'm a massive fan of John Stevens.
I went up to him. Listen. I went up to him the night Doc Neeson died, and I said, John, and he goes, yeah, what? And I go, can you play? Am I ever going to see your face again? And he goes, absolutely. And I go, you understand? Doc Neeson died today. And he goes, absolutely. And then they immediately, their band, because it was a full band. He wasn't just doing a solo act. Played Am I Ever Going to See Your Face Again, and the pub erupted.
The one that Rick and Roll has exposed as a song by another band completely.
That's right. Yeah. The Angels kind of nicked that, didn't they?
They didn't nick it, but they had to pay all the royalties to Status Quo.
Yeah.
And we played it on the Rick and Rolly Show. I'm telling you now, total exclusives on Rick and Rolly Show, usually big time.
Well, my father's favorite band was There's a Lady Who's Sure, or the Led Zeppelin, and they quite often nick their stuff.
Oh, no, not quite often, nearly, not all the time, but extremely regularly, I'll just say that. Interesting.
I like him. Who was the lead for Robert Plant?
And
I like Big Log.
Rollo, you know, fantastic album. My conspiracy theory is that Robert Plantagenet, because he looks like a king. If you were to say who, you know, line up three people, who looks like a medieval king, right now. King Charles or Robert Plantagenet.
Robert Plant, you could put next to the king out of Braveheart. Peter McGowan with his long hair.
He's got a big long beard. Hair. He looks just like a king. And Plantagenet is apparently the real bloodline of the royal family. It's not the Battenbergs. Or whatever they call themselves these days. The Plantagenets were the original British bloodline that got kicked out. And Robert Plant, I guarantee you now, the word comes from Plantagenet. Now, I saw someone was speaking of this.
Sorry to cut you off, but can we go with Big Log tonight? I love that song. You know, that dun 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 dun. I'll send it to Bellathet. You know the one where he pulls up in this car,
in the Midwest, and he goes swimming in the swimming pool and etc.
And the camera follows him. Yeah, and the camera follows him, and he's just the coolest looking dude. And the swagger.
My love, something in the highway.
You know,
great song, right? I bought that album as soon as I heard it. 1983, 84. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big, around that time. Great song. Anyway, so Robert Plant, why am I talking about Robert Plant? AI. I was on Facebook. This is where I see all this crap. This is when I realize how bad things are going to get in the future because already most people I knew were fuckwits anyway. Now with this AI, they're not going to be able to tell the difference between anything. Before it was just fake adverts and fake photos. Now it's actually people moving around doing things. Now I can spot a fake a mile off, guaranteed. Now there, someone shared, it was Robert Plant,
I so you say potatoes, I say potatoes. You say tomatoes, I say plants.
Let's call the whole thing off. Let's call the whole AI thing off.
Keep going, mate. Yeah.
So anyway, someone shared a video, and it was someone a song that Led Zeppelin didn't do any music to. They never did music video, and it was Robert Plant walking out at, you know, 23 years of age, say, and he smiles and starts singing the song. And I went, that doesn't even look like his way he smiles. I knew it was an AI thing. But there'd be people going, oh, I didn't know that they did that. You know, I'm telling you, this AI is a weapon against you. If you play with it, it's like playing with, remember Star Trek with those little cute little furry things? Were they Puffles? Those little aliens on Star Trek. They look cute.
Okay. You're telling the story, man.
The original Star Trek episode, when these little tiny furry things that look really cute when you pick them up, when you get a whole lot of them, they swarm you and they become a problem. Like ants, I guess. Puffles.
This song goes for 6 minutes, but it'll be good at the end.
It's called Big Log. It's called, what's the song? My Love.
Look at that car that he drives in with. I'll send it directly.
The other thing. This is how do you beat AI? I'll tell you how you beat it. Stop looking at fucking computer screens. Because
listen, Rick. This reminds me of something. I went to my weekly, you know, where I have to go for probation for COVID nonsense. I got talking to this. I think he was an Islander. He's very much like had your accent. I don't think he was New Zealander. I think he's an Islander though. He was a big guy, and he was there with all his kit, and he was obviously a musician. And we got talking about the Screaming Jets, and I said they're one hit wonders. He goes, no, they're not. There's another hit song called Helping Hand. Do you remember that song?
They've never been a one hit wonder, but they only have.
The rest of their hits are all covers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it goes something like, would you lend me a helping hand? Yeah, you don't like it? There you go.
I can't stand
The and video is one of their actually, hits. Actually, the video clip's hilarious.
You know, but that is their own. They wrote that. So that is, you're right. Yeah. That was, and he's right. Mm. He is right. That is their own song. There are other songs. And speaking of this, last night I was listening to my radio show to Coast FM. I'm telling you, greatest Friday nights ever for my drive home. And this guy played every fucking song that I loved, every song I loved, except his comedy choices last night. He was playing, because it was Halloween, so he was playing Halloween-themed stuff, and he'd somehow found a recording. You know what Christmas card jokes are like? You know how you get when you open up a Christmas cracker, really bad, you know, puns and stupid jokes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He had a recording of some American comedian with doing Halloween jokes with these, like, one-liners, like, what do you call, you know, Dracula's something or other. Just really pathetic.
Why do birds fly sound of the wind?
That kind of thing. And it also had that, you know, those maniacs.
It's like, what are those crackers that you open where you're at a restaurant?
Christmas crack. Oh, Chinese.
No, no. Cookies. Fortune cookies. Yeah, where they go. And you go, she's going to divorce you.
You'll marry a beautiful woman. She's going to divorce you, yeah. You're going to die of cancer after our meal. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be hungry and have diarrhea 15 minutes time.
See, you've got a sense of humor that a lot of other people, I get it. It's hilarious. I said big log to, it goes for 6 minutes, but yeah.
Have you ruined my conversation? Because I was about to say something interesting.
Oh, no. You've got to say Julie Andrews quick enough. So where were we? So you had a line of conversation. So you get something randomly with the universe presents to you. Is that right?
Okay, I got. Thank you. So anyway, this guy was playing after the break. It was like a Halloween one hit. You know, like little gags, but one, you know, like he's
got, gotcha.
You know, what does Dracula do on a, you know, blood this and blood. Anyway, they were unfunny, but this guy played it for 5 solid minutes every break. And I'm driving along and I couldn't hit my phone had fallen on the ground. It was sending me like psychologically listening to these bad jokes. And plus, remember those little dolls you could get that laugh? You just hit, you touch them and they laugh.
A Rollo Dolo with a
recorded laugh in it. This guy was doing his comedy thing and he was just reading bad Halloween jokes and he was hitting this doll that was laughing after every bad pun. And I thought, it's funny. But this guy let it go for 5 minutes each break. And I'm like, this is the worst humor. This is the worst radio I've ever heard in my entire life. I actually wanted to drive.
Oh no! They screwed the
podcast. I want to drive.
You should have switched to Bob FM. What? Oh, Rick and Rollo.
Roll.
53.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Here, my friend Vela said, man, we had such a great chat yesterday. Rick and Rollo 53, Saturday, the 1st of November, 2025, how Halloween. Was Vela? And now, again, I've got to be careful about all the subjects that we spoke about because we spoke about.
We don't want to know, Rollo.
No, but that's fine. He's such a great chap. He rang me sort of out of the blue. There was no baseball and it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon and Chrissy came over at five.
You said two before.
Oh, two or three. I can't remember how long it was. It was just such an awesome conversation. And Chrissy came and I said, Chrissy's coming over. I've got to feed the dog. We've got to do our Friday night thing. And anyway, because I was so caught up in the conversation, because he's such a joy to talk to. Yeah, so I won't give anything personal away. And anyway, so Chrissy just rocked up down the driveway and I said, she's here. So she ended up speaking to him for half an hour. I just put the headset on her and they get on like a house on fire, those two. Big, you know, because they got a lot in common with the trains and all of that. And I made the dog it in, and then we put him on hands free with the and we had a chat, and it was just such a pleasant afternoon. It was like it's an afternoon that I really do appreciate accidental things like that where and. There are so many stories that he's. I don't think he'll mind me saying this. Listen.
Andrews, remember, okay.
All right. You can say Julie Andrews, and he can edit it out if he wants to. If he gets a Saturday night, you know why he. If he gets a Saturday night. which he says next Saturday night is free, so he will produce for us. That means we'll get all the soundboard, all the music during. But he goes,
he wants to do a special 250. A 250.
He does. Listen, Rick, Julianne, mm-hmm. Can I Julie Andrews you?
Yes, you can.
Julie Andrews. All right. So Saturday nights, because he's on such a good gig at the. You break the Julie. No, but it was so funny. If he gets a Saturday night and he gets called in, it's so lucrative. He can make $700.
I know. See, why aren't I working in one night. Yeah, why aren't I working on the railway?
Yeah, why aren't you? Well, they're looking. They're always looking. Apparently,
oh no,
and it's not. I'm not sure how hard a job it's to do, but I think Velazek could train you because he's looking into becoming a trainer. And you talk to him next Saturday night because he said, "Look, I'm trying. Four days on, 4 days off, whatever."
I do not ask anything more of Jolo. Jolo, my new name, I create.
He's a legend. He's a legend.
I do not say we're going to edit out this little bit here because you do, and it must be so annoying for him. And I always say, Rollo, he might do it when you give him some fucking money, which you haven't done yet, I do believe.
That he doesn't need. No, he's doing pretty well financially. But everybody else needs a helping hand a little bit. An extra 600 wouldn't hurt. Yeah. He's not gonna blow it on hookers and blow or what was that thing you said last week where you know some people they just if someone gave me $600 of it you just get down do something stupid with it, but yeah. Bella is not like that. He reminds me of a copper, really.
He's got the genetics. He's a smart kid. And I'll call him a kid because he's only in his 30s.
All right. We're going to continue on this conversation. It is Halloween. I wanted to talk about John Carpenter. Do you remember John Carpenter at all?
Yes, I do. And I listen, and I'll shout him out again. Media Monica is a big John Carpenter fan. And I had no idea. That John Carpenter is a frustrated musician. That most of the soundtracks on the Carpenter movies
are all done by him. They are. You're right. They're all done by him.
So on Friday, if you listen on, and I always recommend this, the pump up the volume Friday Australia time, about 4 or 5 in the afternoon. I always put them on, and he plays soundtracks that John Carpenter's come up with, or. There's actually groups of people that actually make soundtracks to movies that don't exist, which is even more clever. And I love so Carpenter's does some really good stuff. Rollo, anyway, I've got something more interesting to talk. Yesterday, speaking of death, which we have, I pulled up at my job in Redfern, one of the dodgier areas, Sydney, and there was four ambulances. This is in the housing commission area at I forget the name of the street. Anyway, behind near one of my jobs.
It's South Sydney where the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs.
South Sydney. Anyway, I pulled up, there was four ambulances, five cop cars.
What's going on?
It's a senior member of the cops. There's three of them.
Rick. We just had a major issue just there. Can you restart your story? There was a big block.
I pulled up at Redfern. I pulled up at the street I normally park in, and I saw along the street, which I've seen before, same street. There's always a siege going on or something or a. Anyway, guess what? Stabbing, murder. It hasn't been even on the. But I'm telling you, there was so many cops there, this has to have been a bad one. And there was, you know, the cops with the peaked caps, they've got the
senior. No, exactly what you're talking.
Just put them over there. Thank you. There were them standing around, sorry, directing recycling as I'm talking to you. So I knew this is bad. So what I did is I drove around the back of it, it'll come in the back way. Mm. And as I went around the corner, there's three cops behind on another road photographing the ground, and I just saw blood all over the footpath. Yeah. Blood, like red blood, blood. Yeah, it'd been a stab. Yes, it'd been a stab. And then, so this was a major story. Now, has it been on the news that someone got stabbed to death in Redfern? Because I'm telling you.
Let me look it up. I'll look it up for you.
Redfern stabbing. Just look up Redfern stabbing because it looked bad. Okay. And I spoke to a couple of chicks that were doing traffic control on another street, and they said apparently it was a stabbing. And they were photographing a lot of blood on the footpath from what I could see. And this is the area where the ice addicts all live. I call it Redfern on ice as opposed to Disney on ice. Redfern stabbing, anything on the
news? Yeah, when people are on ice, they just curl over and they just in there. It's almost like heroin, isn't it? Heroin.
Here we go.
Is that recent? Yeah, let's have a look. No, okay. That's 2020. So, no, it's 2020. We're in 2025.
Okay, isn't it? Because I was thinking, how come? Because I was listening to 2GB. I flicked over to 2GB. They're reporting on these crimes all over the place, but nothing
current.
And this was bad, right? That's
interesting. You brought something that piqued my interest the other night. When it comes to 2GB. Let's go to the Rick and Rollo show.
Jason Morrison's back.
Yeah, yeah. So I heard Jason Morrison, who's filling in there for John Stanley on 2GB last night, offhandedly mentioned the fact.
We were forced vaccinated. And I was thinking, fuck, no wonder they kicked you off. Because he was quite a big star on 2GB and he disappeared 5 years ago. I wonder why that might be. Do you think he might have been against the vaccine? I think he probably was.
Who are we talking about here? Jason Morrison or John?
Yeah. Jason Morrison. Yeah, so Jason Morrison, he offhandedly, because someone was talking about, you know, things going bad. He goes, what about like the forced vaccines that we had to have? And I thought, whoa.
And he said that over the air on 2GB. Yes. Wow, man. I want to give him a high five.
He's got such a good voice. Apparently he's really fat though. Like he's really overweight now. Like he's had kids and he was, Alan.
Who cares? Dan Zemanek. Dan Zemanek was the fattest bastard there was.
Nah. Well, Jason Morrison was Alan Jones's kind of protege. Alan Jones kind of groomed him.
Yeah, well, he's a fat bastard.
I shouldn't say groomed, but fat pull. Yeah. But yeah, no, so back to the... Hey, Susie sent a photo of herself. I could only see one eye. It looks like she might be a monster.
Is she a monster? For Halloween. Oh, Jason Morrison, he's a redhead.
Yeah, big ginger.
He looks like a nice guy.
He's doing relief work on 2GB. And I'm telling Rollo, I'm happy. I want all of the current hosts on 2GB to fuck off so I can listen to the relief host because Mike Jeffries is relief host. I want the summer crew to come in because
speak more honestly. Jason Morrison said that over 2GB. And the thing that you said is 2GB were the biggest fucking vaccine pushers back.
I wanted to ring him up. When he said that people were scared into getting vaccine, I was going to ring him up and say, well, guess who was the worst? It was ABC and 2GB.
2GB.
2GB were pushing the whole thing. Ray Hadley, big time. You know,
g'day, Ray Hadley here. You know, you gotta go and get your vaccine. Gotta go get your vaccine. I've got a deep voice. It's not high.
Yes, it is. It's a high pitched voice.
Hey Dale.
No, that's not Dale. That was Ray Hattie.
No, I know. I was being cheeky there.
funny you should bring up Dale, though, because a friend of mine that I was at the party with last week, he shared this an old Holden Monaro commercial, and guess who's doing the voice? Guess who's doing the voice? 1968. Yeah. That guy did so much voiceover work for product.
You remember how he tried to get, you know, with that Chappelle Corby thing that he got caught up in? And then the Liz Jackson thing before was hilarious, where she
pointed that out, and that's why he called you.
He called me an absolute wanker. at the top of his voice,
so,
no less.
And so at the beginning of the show, that Medi, greatest producer ever for musical.
Oh, he put all that sound by. Where are you going, Rick and Roll? La 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 la.
He hasn't done that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Medi did that thing, and he has that absolute wanker. That's John Law's actually referring to Rollo.
Absolutely.
Absolute wanker.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not anyone else.
He said that on Enemy. I swore on air accidentally, and it befuddled him. Because he didn't actually have a delay on that day.
No.
So it went out live.
Unfortunately,
I was on my mobile phone. I was in my car, and I didn't have the recording set. It was just an accidental thing, you know. I'd love to have that recorded.
You don't know what I
said something like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, John.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, what did I just say? Because I know I regret it.
You can't say the name.
Well, you'd expect to be dumped.
Rollo, like yourself, I'm a big, big listener to AM radio. It's my favorite form of broadcasting, apart from podcasts. And I've heard many times people slip that word in. Many times. But they kind of pretend it didn't happen.
I heard when I spoke to Neil Mitchell down at 3AW, and it was just the height of COVID, and I was questioning Dan Andrews with Neil Mitchell.
I should record that whole bit.
I spoke to Neil Mitchell for about 4 or 5 minutes. The whole bit got cut out, and I didn't record that either. You know, if you don't record shit, you kind of regret it, because if you expect other people to record it,
well, it's interesting.
I listened to the whole show. Yeah.
Well, I've been listening. Dean rang me the other day. Dino rang me the other day.
No, sorry.
It was another friend of mine rang me, and he goes, I'm going to put you on hold.
Mm.
And he pressed this button that said, you're being recorded. So there's an app that you can press on the phone that actually records everything that's being said on the phone. And he didn't mean to press that, but apparently you can actually record your phone calls as you're talking.
Man, there's apps to do everything these days. I mean, you saw the us being turned into boy bands. Yeah, I couldn't believe when I saw that.
I can believe it after I saw the Robert Plant one the other day, and I went, "That's not Robert Plant." I can tell the way he's smiling. That guy does not smile like that, and it looks so real. It looks like him getting up, walking towards the camera, and smiling, and then start singing.
You normally do bongversations. Are you going to do your bongversation with
Dave?
Make sure you bring up. Bring up the AI and all of that with
maybe we've got other things to talk about, but I might do, because he knows it.
Yeah,
he actually understands.
He's a legend. When you and him in that logo, and then you're off smoking bongs, going off into the LSD sphere. You have not seen it. You got it. He put it on the Rollo's back.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I haven't seen it.
It's you and him. going off into the LSD sphere. It is just, and you're smoking bongs on magic carpets.
Both our facial photos are on that.
Yeah.
The conversation.
Make sure before you do your conversation with him. Yeah, you'll love it. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic technology. I just don't know if I want to get.
It's a very dangerous technology. The one thing you're guaranteed never to see me doing is going off and smoking a bong. Well, not yet.
No, you know, I think you're just smoking spliffs. I think that's what you're doing. But it's classic. It really is. And probably laced with LSD. Yeah.
It's 300 or 400 people that download those shows immediately and then up to 500 eventually. Or maybe 600 and some of them. Yeah, so there's a lot of people into that show, which is good. Always interesting. Always interesting. But, yeah, no, Robert Plant, though, the AI, going to change everything. It's going to change everything.
Of course it is.
You're going to be sharing your own photo on the internet, a risk that you're going to be.
Yeah, at your own risk. Yes. Can just make us do whatever you want. You know, it could be put us into a.
That's already going on.
Yeah, I could be a Charlie Sheen fucking Ginger Lynn in the butthole.
Don't say it. Someone will do it. That's what I'm going to say. But can you sue these people, though? I think there'll be a way. I think with that kind of thing, there's going to be.
I'm not big into suing. I've never been into that. But, I always found that.
But it will be a thing in the future that someone created an image of you doing something illegal, and you just say, well, then that person, does he own a house? I'm going to take that house off him.
It could be used for that.
You're listening to Rick and Roller. Rick and Roller.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Click on the donate link.
This is Carl Fobb, formerly of Severe Economic Forum. I'm unemployed. ULMNNPLOIT, whatever. Anyway, I am going to be hosting a little bit of the show. And I'm always going out there to smoke a cigarette. And I'm
going to be Klaus. I'm honored. Klaus from the World Economic Forum.
Formerly of Severe Economic Forum.
That's right. You still got your piranha? Have you still got your piranha pit?
Yeah. I have my piranha.
All right. I've got a few people.
I'm just going to go pet one of my little piranha and pet them on the head. You're so cute. You're so cute. They are beautiful animals, Roro. And they get eyed of useless eaters. You just throw them into the... You press the button on the side of your desk, which I have. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting at my desk at the moment. You can see me. The camera is on. And if you are standing there on the eyed arg in my office, OVISS, you will plummet.
Shut the fuck up. Klaus Schwab from the WF, who is unemployed. Now, I'm the boss now. Klaus, what's your thoughts on this new technology AI that can make you...
They are making me, the bad guys out there have made me look like I was singing a song that I did not sing. I never sang this song. They made me sing Don't Worry, Be Happy. That was not me.
You never sung that?
This is the AI doing this. So, you've got to be careful of who you're looking at.
But it was funny, Claude.
No, my wife hit me over the head with her.
But I don't care about your wife. Have you got not got a sense of humor? Do you not understand memes?
I have a sense of humor. I like to people plumbing it. I like to see people getting the heads blown off by shotguns and things like that. That's funny. Why would you say I don't have a sense of humor? I don't know why you would say that. I like to see people plummeting out of airplanes and crashing onto clowns without the I have a great sense of humor. Why would you say I don't have a sense of humor? I don't know what you're about.
Fuck off back to Switzerland or where the hell are you from?
Thank you, Klaus Schwab, for coming in and taking my phone.
Hey, Rick, you're back.
Well, he took my phone. I went to the toilet to powder my nose and put some makeup on, adjust my wig. And
speaking of wig, did you see the vice president of the USA put the wig on and do the because he's J.D. Vance is the vice president of the USA, and he's so funny. And
I'm gonna suggest that's a suspicious name, J.D. Vance. It just sounds like make up a name of a American vice president. Call him J.D. Vance. It's like a TV show,
hilarious.
I'll tell you a classic example of fake names TV shows. What was Captain Kirk? Finally, we talk about Captain Kirk.
That was William Shatner.
CK, William Shatner. He was in a show called, it was a so fake a name of it. It was like TJ Honey, not TJ Honeycutt. It was TJ
Hooker.
Like, TJ Hooker. All the names they come up with these shows, like, Kirk Vance or, J.D. Vance. It sounds like a script has been made to give you the name of some kind of American.
Just American. I love everything about America.
T.J. Hooker. To T.J. Hooker.
Before I, it's on my, what's it called? On my, my wish list. What's it called? Your bucket list.
Bucket list, yeah.
Yeah, is to get to America, yeah, because when I spoke to Bello.
I want to get there. Don't tell me he wants to go back there, as he wants to go back to America.
I'm not sure he does, I'm just saying. He was just telling me about how much fun he had in Florida. And it just sounds like too much fun, yeah.
Oh, look, I believe it. And the food would be fantastic if you want to get fat and die. What fantastic.
Well, he did put a bit of weight on, but that's okay. He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind being called Fatty McFat. he's a great human being.
Yeah. Susie sends her a photo of her Halloween. It's gone.
I saw it. We could AI that. We could AI that into somehow.
Well, it could be anybody. It's an actual photo. It's their actual photo. Yeah.
Isn't she married with kids, our one and only fan?
No, our one and only fan is not, she does not have children, but she's married to, you're so vain. Vain.
I bet you this song is about you. You're so vain.
That song. She's married to Vane, and Vane has a job that one of the few jobs that I would actually like to do that I haven't done before. As a mailman, I can be a mailman easily.
Oh yeah. He always rings twice. Rod Steiger.
No, was that?
Yeah, the mailman always rings twice.
No, the postman always rings twice.
The postman, wasn't it? Oh, sorry.
Actually, the remake had was it Jack Nicholson and what's the name?
Oh, what a guy.
No, but the postman always rings twice.
If I could come back as anyone when I die. I'd love to come back as Jack.
He's a great voice.
Not only his voice, he's
look, honestly,
his ability to. One of my favorite early movies of his was the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And he calls this baseball game when there's nothing on the TV because Nurse Ratched wouldn't.
Yeah.
Louise Fletcher. Louise Fletcher wouldn't
let him. What a horrible woman she was.
Yeah.
Nurse Ratched.
Oh, yeah. But he only got into the... That story was written by, actually, Michael Douglas.
No, it wasn't.
Who wrote that story?
It was the guy from the LSD experiments. What's his name? Not Tim Leary. It was the other guy. One of those guys from... Yeah, it was a... It was a guy that was part of the American... He was a dodgy writer. I don't remember his name, but... It was such a good story, though, about abuse.
It was a young Danny DeVito, young Christopher Lloyd was in it.
And all those guys became big...
The Indian who picked up the thing and broke through it through the window.
He was an interesting... I remember watching the movie Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer.
Oh, yeah.
And he... That same actor was Indian Joe, or even the bad guy.
Okay.
Tom Sawyer, yeah. But also starred the kid off Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, Johnny Whitaker.
Johnny Whitaker played, died young. I felt for sure you were going to bring up Brad Dwarf. I thought, you know, the guy that got stabbed in it. Brad Dwarf in it. Yeah, he got stabbed. And anyway, keep going with the Whitaker.
No, Johnny Whitaker was an American actor. He was in the Buffy, what was that? A Family Affair from the... We're on target here. Rick and Rollo. Nostalgia Air. So Johnny Whitaker, was it Johnny Whitaker? I think it was Johnny Whitaker.
Hold on. Let me help. I'm inside now. I can talk.
Family Affair was a huge show in the 60s. Up there with Ghost of Mrs. Muir and Bewitched, etc.
I love that show.
Yeah. So the kid that played Tom Sawyer was played by the same Johnny Whitaker, right. But the same bad Injun Joe was played that same poor American actor that they made. He was a bad guy in the movie Tom Sawyer. So I watched in 1973 or 74 at the movies, be told. Rick and Rollo Nostalgia.
It's a really good show. We are doing...
Useless information.
Yeah, it's great. Useless information. Here we go. So
Johnny Whitaker, the star of Sigmund and the Sea Monsters. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters.
Here we go, cast.
He's dead. He died very young.
Suspicious. Okay, so with Jack Nicholson played Randy Patrick R.P. McMurphy. Oh. So Louise Fletcher played Nurse Mildred Ratched.
Mildred, really? Was that a name?
Mildred was.
I really wanted you to hate that woman, Mildred Ratched.
Oh, big time. She did it so well, too. Will Sampson, William Redfield, Chief Bromden. He played.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you look up the movie Tom Sawyer that got put out in, I think it was Disney, possibly, about the story about Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn.
He died in 1987, age 53.
Wow.
Will Sampson. Yeah. Samson suffered from scleria, degenerate, affected his heart and lungs, and after a lengthy illness.
Died.
Yeah. He, 1987, 53. That's a bit young to die, isn't it?
Well, Rollo, it happens. I'll just have to say that, sadly.
Yeah. It does happen. That's right. You said it at the beginning of the show. You get heart palpitations, you think you're going to have a heart attack. There are so many actors that had heart attacks.
How old was William Holden when he died? William Holden died in his 50s.
William Holden? Well. All right, I'll look it up right now.
One of my favorite movies, The Wild Bunch, with Sam Peckinpah. Greatest ending of any movie ever, as far as I'm concerned, involves Gatling guns, lots of Mexicans wearing white.
Really? He came to Australia, remember, with that Ricky Schroeder
He did that. He did a movie. Yeah, you're right.
He did a movie just before he passed away.
Terrible movie, but you're right, Ricky Schrader. It meant to be an Australian movie. I knew people that worked on that film too. I'll tell you right now.
I bet you do. I bet you do, because yeah. he died age 63, so...
Okay, so he's 2 years older than me. 2 years older than me.
In 1981.
Bill Holden.
Yeah, he did. He did look a bit craggy in the end, but...
Craggy old. But I'm telling you, what a great character actor. Now, I shared that thing to you, Rollo, about the story of the making of... It's very funny. In New Zealand, there's a film called Sleeping Dogs. That was Sam Neill's very first movie. A guy who kept popping up. First big movie. And Sam Neill plays the book's called Smith's Dream. It's very much a 1984. But it's totally predictive programming.
Okay, Sleeping Dogs is a 1978.
Anyway, so they brought in.
They had Russell Crowe in it.
I should check it out. They have a great movie. It's based on a book called
Here we go. Okay. So Sleeping Dogs is a 1977 New Zealand.
Yep.
Action thriller film directed by Roger Donaldson. It's based on a book by Smith's Dream by C.K. Steed.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say this. The writer's C.K. That's that 311. C.K. Steed.
It is 311. Yeah, you're right.
It is 311. Yeah. It's basically, though, 1984, but modernized in some ways. It's about Sam Neill plays he's getting divorced. He's got his life's fucked, and he decides to move in a little island.
A political thriller with the action film elements that follows a lead man alone character, Smith Neill, as a New Zealand plunges into a police state as a fascist government.
Guess what happened?
The martial law.
Guess what happened 40 years later, it turned into a police state.
What was her name or his name? Jacinda Ardern.
Jacinda Ardern, exactly. And it's so much. There's so much in that movie. But anyway, the funniest thing is they brought in Warren Oates, who was an American bad guy actor. Like when I say bad guy, he was
Sam Neill was cast as Smith. Warren Oates was cast as Colonel Willoughby.
Yeah. So he played Colonel Willoughby, but in the film, so apparently he was a wild man. And so in the when you actually watch the movie, and you see there's a scene where Smith meets Willoughby, and Warren Oates comes walking in. He's got a handful of papers in his hand, and he's holding a beer. And apparently the director Donaldson was saying he was drunk. And those are the script that he was meant to be reading in the film. And he's walked on actually ready to go action. Yeah. And he's so drunk, he's got holding on to the script to read. But goes, and he's actually, that's how drunk Roran
is. It happens all the time. I've heard it. It's fantastic.
But it's a good, really good film.
A car accident. Yeah, that's what you call it, wouldn't you? A car crash. You're on set with Sam Neill, who's very nervous.
And you bring in an American lead actor, and the American lead actor turns up, gets out of the car drinking a beer, which was not in the script. He was not meant to be drinking a beer. And he's holding all his papers, and he walks up to him and starts going. And he's actually reading the script because he's so drunk.
Trying to read a script.
And they get out of the car
with a beer.
It's in the film. And they just said, we're just going to go with it.
They went.
We're just going to use it.
Well, that's even better. I mean, why not? I mean, you've got to get the film printed.
Look up YouTube Roger Donaldson.
It's called unprofessionalism.
Yeah.
Well, which is the one I'm well known for.
Well, it's like...
It's like
Warren Oates starred in the Sam Peckinpah movie called Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia.
So, that was Warren Oates, 1928 to 1982.
Yeah,
oh, look at him with his black Louis black hat on.
Yeah.
Drunk had three wives. Yeah. Four children.
And lots of
how did he die? So Oates was ill with influenza weeks before his death, 1982. At the age of 53, he died. See? Warren Oates.
I mean, like a heart attack
while taking an afternoon nap in his Los Angeles mansion after experiencing chest pains. And shortness of breath. There you go, which is what you're worried about.
That's what I'm worried about. Just get AI Rick to come in and host the show. It'd be no problem.
AI Rick.
Rolo.
All right.
Could you shut up? Julie Andrews. Rolo. Julie Andrews.
Yeah, that'll be the AI Rick. There'll be no problem, Rob. You'll know no difference. No difference from the show.
That's hilarious to go out with. Well, let's go. Should we go out with, a prayer for Prunella Scales for making us laugh so much as Sybil?
Yeah, she did. Well, look, I have to be honest that she was a major character in that.
I know.
I swear to God. And the laugh. Don't forget the laugh.
Yeah.
Even that makes me cough. Yeah, so we're going out with do you want to do an after show?
Are we going out?
Yeah,
don't make it more confusing for Jolo. You can just keep going and talk.
So we're definitely going out with Big Log, Robert Plant.
You're listening to Beatle.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Sensation, Rick and Rollo, episode number 53 on the 1st of November 2025, which means, Rollo, the decorations now are being thrown out in Woolworths and Coles, and it's going to be Christmas decorations everywhere. You're going to see the biggest Christmas decoration thing ever. This year.
Yeah, they go early, don't they? So they've got two holidays in America, don't they? Have like they have Halloween and then Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something suspicious about that, and the fact that America is the biggest Halloween pusher ever. It's a straight out satanic ritual. And yesterday, you're listening to me, I think, but I was looking out the window as I was cleaning someone's louvers. Of their house.
Yep.
And a girl who I've seen in a cafe that I used to go to with her, I'm not sure it's her daughter or she looks after it or whatever. She's walking along with a white dress on with blood. She's got a throat cut, like special effects that she's made.
This is Balmain, Australia.
And she's walking along with a daughter. You know, collecting, you know, Chinese-made poison made with or whatever country. Probably China. Her throat cut. Okay. She's got blood dripping down her dress, white dress. To me, it looked exactly like it's real. And this was the Housing Commission area I called Disney on Ice or Balmain on Ice, which I just drove from there straight to a real murder. With a real blood all over the.
Yeah, you said it before. Yeah, crazy.
On Halloween, there was a real murder at the Housing Commission in Redfern, which I'm telling you, if you're going to get killed, that's the area that's most likely to happen because there's so many drug addicts.
It must have affected you in a big way.
No, Roland, I'm a complete cynic. I just went,
you know, why would we? Why would we in Australia celebrate a day of dressing up with blood dripping everywhere when real murder is housing commission? It's unbelievable. Well, that's how stupid we are.
At least
in New Zealand, on the 5th of November, we still celebrate Guy Fawkes, who got his hung, drawn.
That's right. That was the dude. That was the dude that was burnt alive. I think. We used to put we create a bonfire, and put a guy Fawkes.
I did that as a child.
What did he do?
He tried to blow the Houses of Parliament up, like most of us would probably be interested in. Shouldn't be saying that on a podcast, but that's what's going on. And they made
it's opinion. It's only opinion, but he actually tried to do it, did he?
He apparently did. Right. And it's full of the Knights Templar and the Masons, whatever conspiracy theory. Hey, anyway, I'm just going to sidetrack slightly here. I just bumped, other than Coles, the hot coals of hell, Coles, that's what they call the grocery store here. It's not Woolworths, it's Coles.
Oh, you're in there. And, are you in there now?
No. I was there tonight. And I bumped into an old friend, his kids went to school with my friend, my kids. And every time we bump into each other, he outdoes me with conspiracy theory. He is what I call he's into, there's a meteor shaped needle, and Donald Trump building. This is the conversation me and him had tonight. I bumped into him in Coles this afternoon. He goes, Rick, Donald Trump's building the thing he's building in the White House. Underneath it.
Yeah, it's got a ballroom. He's demolished the east wing of the White House. Yeah. Everyone's going crazy over it.
Well, the conversation I had when I bumped into way different level. He's into more internet conspiracy research. He said that Donald Trump's building this thing, but underneath it is a temple. And Marduk, M-A-R-D-U-K, is part of this whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, is this what I sound like when I talk to my friends? And now, and it probably does, but I'm sitting there going, this is making me and you look like lunatic. He's explaining all these things. Tonight, he thought the banking, all our money's going to collapse.
He's not a fan of Donald Trump.
He kind of is. And he said that he goes, don't worry, everything's all right because there's a meteor coming towards the planet at the moment and it's this giant syringe, da da da, and I'm like,
that's crazy good. You could make a film out of that. I was gonna watch a film with my wife last night, but Garania.
I'm sitting there going, do I sound like he does to me, to my friends? Now I know why no one talks to me anymore. Because that's what they do. But
You've always got a friend here, my friend. No conspiracy theorists. Julie Andrews, registered conspiracy theorist.
Anyway, the most important thing though, the bees are not here. The bees have been slaughtered. And there's no bees.
Every time I think of bees, I think of Nicolas Cage when he's doing the Wicker Man. Bees.
What a bad version of a great movie.
The original Wicker Man with Edward Woodward.
Edward Woodward. Did you watch Callan?
Callan? Yeah, absolutely. It was more a serious version of Minder, wasn't it? Because it had Dennis Waterman in it.
No, he might have appeared in it.
Callum was a serious cop drama. I liked him when he went to America and did a show called The Equalizer.
Great show.
Do you remember that? It was way better than the show, very simple to understand. It was like the A-Team, just a simple revenge story every week.
No, he was an intelligence agent. Yeah, the Equalizer. So, because Callum was a government operative hitman, he was not
a bit like James Bond or something. A bit of
like a dodgy version of Callum.
Yeah,
and
did he have any foibles? What was
he had a dodgy friend called, I forget his name, but who was this kind of advice?
I remember that swinging light bulb at the beginning of the show, the Callum that started the show. Yeah,
yeah. So that was kind of telling you that the government aren't the nice guys you might be thinking they are. They actually have bad guys that actually go jobs. Mm. That's what they call it, a wet job, like getting rid of someone that's been speaking too much. But Callum, Edward Woodward starred in...
He reminds me of you a bit because he did have a sense of humour. Edward Woodward was in... Right. He did play comedy.
He was a great actor.
He was in... Wasn't he in that Shaun of the Dead?
Was he?
No,
he's been dead for years.
He died. The Equalizer,
and forget about the new version with what's his name?
Denzel Washington.
No, you got to watch the TV show because it's a really dark show, and he played a intelligence agent.
It had the great theme tune at the beginning.
All those shows had great theme tunes.
He was in a New York underground, and the train coming by, and something's going on, and he had his little pistol.
But he rarely had to use it.
Yeah.
No, but he was playing an ex intelligent agent that was decided that I'm going to go out and become a good guy, and you could.
Mm.
And there's something was going wrong in your life. Now, actually, interestingly, I'll talk about something big, great, interesting conspiracy theory. I might do a speak told show at some stage about this. The Feathermen. And I bought the book when it came out. And the Feathermen.
All right. The Feathermen. Never heard
exact,
of it.
Well, it was a novel. So the founder of the SAS, which was because they only referred to him in the book as the founder, but I know who it is. They're talking about David Sterling. He formed an organisation of volunteers that were if ex members of the SAS were in any trouble at any time, that these guys would come out and help the situation, be it their children got involved with drugs.
Okay, so the Feathermen is a 1991 novel by the British entrepreneur Sir Ralph Fiennes.
It's not a novel. It's actually real. They call it a novel, but it's actually really happened.
Did they make a movie about it? Oh,
no,
loosely
no,
adapted
no
into a film called Killer Elite in 2011.
Fantastic. Yeah, but it's not. And they don't want it to be known, but I actually worked with guys that were actually part of that group.
Oh, man, it's got Jason Statham as the lead. Man, I've got to watch The Killer Elite. Is this good? Clive Owen? Robert De Niro's in it?
The real story of the Feathermen actually happened.
Sorry, dude.
I worked with a couple of guys that were in that group. Mm-hmm. And they said to me, one of them got ripped off and robbed in Africa when he was doing mercenary work by other mercenaries. And he said that he contacted, and he described it as a group of people that were part of that organization, which is AF. And they came
just,
out. And
just
they,
reading.
Guys came
reading
out. That, yeah. So basically, they were a. So say the daughter of a former member of the SAS got involved with drugs, and they found out that these guys would go around, find the drug dealer, and hang him upside down, or do that thing with the John Fee. and or taught, you know, make sure that he never dealt drugs to that girl ever again, or that boyfriend of the. Oh, so they were kind of like a secret organization.
Ben Mendels in this as well.
Look, oh, I'm saying.
I just read the synopsis of it.
Fantastic. Yeah. Look. But that's basically what Callum was, part of an intelligence
was
group.
The killer elite. Yeah,
he was a part of a group of that had formerly spent their lives doing wet jobs. I'll say that, wet jobs. And
okay,
say
I know what you mean by that. Yeah.
And say their kids.
Not the exciting. Where you jump out of a helicopter and slide down a rope and land on a house.
Well, a wet job means get rid of something permanently.
Oh, wet? Oh, sorry. I misinterpreted what you said there. A wet job means you have to.
I highly recommend that book, The Feather Men. No one knows about it, apart from me, of course.
Mm.
That existed, guaranteed. And the guy that
I can't read.
Oh, it's but look. Honestly,
I will watch The Killer Elite.
Killer Elite is a novelized version, but the actual book, The Feather Men, is highly recommended.
All right, I'll listen to an audio.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, so I'll tell you what happened. The members of the Special Air Service were involved in a battle in Murbat in the Middle East, and they killed the son of a sheikh. We're in this particular battle, and there's an honor system in the Middle East where if you kill my son, I have to kill the people that killed my son. And so this sheikh, who had a lot of money, paid a South African hitman to find all the people that were involved in this particular skirmish in the Middle East, Murbat, and look it up. Fantastic story. MIRBAT.
This is better than the movie
because it's actually, I really say it's fairly accurate because that's the way the Middle East works. It's like, it's an honor system.
Mm.
Someone killed my son, then I'm going to get the people that killed my son. And so they employed this South African hitman, and he went around and he got at least three of the members of that team that had been in this battle. Until someone contacted us and said, this is suspicious that three of our guys are trained to death. Really weird. Anyway.
I guarantee you, I'll have listened to it.
This is better than the movie, Roller. This is better than the movie. And guess what? You never heard it till I told you about it. It's not a big story.
Yeah,
it's not a big story, but I know about it. And I'd say it's 100% correct.
100% I'll listen correct. To it. Oh, it sounds like that. I'll listen to it before Rick and Roller.
We'll go 54. And you're going to go off and watch.
Yeah, that Lee Price. You know the books that. Who am I thinking of?
Lee Child's. You're talking about Lee Child.
Yeah, but it's better than Lee Child's stuff, is it? Way better.
Yeah. Oh no, this is way better. And so I lent the book to Danny, who was the King Charles.
I met him. I met the other fella, your tall, super tall fella.
This has got nothing to do with him. I lent him my book of the Feather Men because he knew about it, but he never gave it back to me, or he lost it. Actually, I highly recommend the Feather Men.
Look. Book. I'll listen to it.
A really good book.
All right.
It's not full of anything. Anyway, roll it. We're going to listen to what song?
Awesome conversation. We're not going to play the Jonas Brothers tonight. We're going to go out with
Big Log.
I'm glad you got the sense of humor there.
Great song.
We're going out with Robert Plant, Big Log.
Big Log. Fantastic. All right, Rollo. Next week on
my friend, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Rick and Rollo is the greatest show ever.
And a big Rick and Rollo and Jolo next Saturday night.
Yeah, that's gonna be fantastic. That's gonna be absolutely fantastic. Guaranteed.
All right, my friend.
All right, Rollo. So big love. Good night. Robert Plant. Good night. Speak to you next week. Bye.
Bye.